in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. If you've ever watched the TV show, It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, something that I grew up with, you might remember there's a scene where all the kids are getting ready to go out trick-or-treating, and one of the characters, Lucy, puts on this ugly, mean-looking witch mask. And what she says is, a person should always choose a costume which is in direct contrast to her own personality. And this is a funny thing if you know anything about the characters, because Lucy is the one who's almost always mean and grouchy. I think it's generally true that people are not very good at knowing themselves. Not necessarily because they're not self-aware enough, they don't think about themselves enough. People mostly don't know themselves because they don't want to. Because when people catch a glimpse of who they really are, they don't like it all that much. It is so much more comfortable to put on a mask, like Lucy did, and to choose what we would like people to see when they look at us. A man named Brennan Manning, who was a Catholic Franciscan and a really good writer, once wrote that as a child, he was so sure that he was unlovable and unacceptable as he really was, that he invented this false self, a public face, so that he could be somebody that people would like and admire. And his false self did everything right. Got good grades, he had good manners, he was successful, but all the time, inside, his real self was continually terrified year after year into adulthood by this feeling that he was utterly alone and he could never dare to allow anyone to know who he really was. It is the easiest thing in the world for Christians to fall into a trap of wearing the mask of the righteous. We have bought into this general misconception that to be a Christian means to be a good person, which means somebody who does all the right things, and especially somebody who doesn't do the wrong things. Somebody who avoids getting his hands dirty with the messier side of life in the world. If you think of the stereotype of the American Christian leader, perfect hair, perfect teeth, well-manicured hands, shiny shoes, and those kind of button-down shirts that never wrinkle. The Pharisee in Jesus' story came into the synagogue to pray, wearing that mask of the righteous. He stood up confidently to pray, and he ticked off on his fingers everything he was doing right. I fast twice a week, he told God. I give a tenth of everything I get. And that's actually pretty impressive. Not many of us would probably say the same. And he thanked God for it. Luke wrote that Jesus told this story about the Pharisee and the tax collector to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And that word in the Greek that means more than trusted in themselves. The fuller meaning of the word is that he convinced himself that he was righteous. I fast twice a week, he said. I give a tenth of everything I get. At least I can say I'm better than that groveling tax collector over there. The Pharisee had to convince himself that he was righteous because he didn't dare to admit that part of himself, deep down, he hated. He was ashamed of himself, that he couldn't ever allow anybody to see that, especially God. But the tax collector, his life was too much of a mess to even think of wearing a mask of righteousness. As a tax collector, he made a living working for the enemy at the expense of his own people. There was no pretending for him that he was a good and faithful Jew. There was no denying the revulsion that he felt when he looked at himself. There was no brushing aside his shame. All he could manage as he entered the synagogue was to stand far away from all those who were so much more righteous than he was and to beg that God would be merciful to him. Not because he deserved it, but because he needed it desperately, because he had no hope in himself. And Jesus told his listeners, here's the thing. It was the tax collector that went home righteous, not the Pharisee. People tend to think that the way to deal with the stuff inside us that we're ashamed of, the stuff we just really don't like, is to try harder. Just shove that shame down deep and try all the harder to live up to that perfect self that we think we ought to be. That's why human religions are all about rules and regulations and punishments and measuring ourselves against one another. But the good news of Jesus, and it's very good news, is the only way to deal with all that we despise about ourselves is to just lay it all out on the table. The truth, Jesus once said, not the mask, the truth is what will set you free. Because it's when we've honestly told God how unlovable, how unacceptable we think we are, that we discover to our shock and our amazement that we are loved and we are accepted. And faith is just the courage to accept our acceptance. Jesus told this story to some who had convinced themselves that they were righteous, but more than that, he told it to some who regarded others with contempt. The inevitable result of legalism, carrying that burden of our false selves and wearing our masks of righteousness to prove that we are good enough, the inevitable result of that is that we end up regarding our fellow man with contempt. How can we possibly love our neighbor if we're busy needing to prove that we are better than he is? How can we have compassion for our neighbor if we're offended when we see in her all that we despise in ourselves? The two great commandments of our faith are these: to love God with all our heart, and all our mind, and all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the whole idea of loving our neighbors as we love ourselves is a tricky one, I think, because we're not very good at loving ourselves. We try to talk ourselves into confidence by comparing ourselves to all the other schmucks who make us look good. I thank you, God, that I am not like that loser that lived down the street from me or that sleazebag I saw on TV. There's always somebody out there, somebody who can make us look a little better by comparison. Just like the Pharisee in the story, who thanked God, at least I am not a mess like that tax collector over there. But as Jesus told us, that didn't end well for him. The tax collector in the story, on the other hand, went home righteous, and that doesn't mean that he went home a flawless person who did everything right and followed all the rules with his life all cleaned up. It meant that he, and not the Pharisee, headed back home in a right relationship with God, in a relationship of trust, in a relationship of honesty and openness. He had dragged this immense burden of shame and guilt and self-loathing into the synagogue with him, and he went out as a free man, forgiven, loved, a new creation. But the Pharisee just went back home with that old mask still in place, lugging that same old burden of self-justification that he had brought with him into the synagogue. Loving our neighbor is as we love ourselves is not another mask that we have to wear. Thank goodness. It's a discovery that we're loved and treasured in the utter imperfection of our naked, maskless selves. And because of that, we're free to love our neighbor, who is also imperfect, just as we are. were like a woman who was afraid for her husband to see her without her makeup. My mom used to call that putting her face on every day. It's not until the day that she really understands, really believes that her husband loves and treasures her as she is, flaws and all, that she knows what it means to be loved. And how many of us, men or women, really know what it is to be loved as we are? How many of us believe that we are loved as we are right now, today, unconditionally? All of our masks set aside. That's the message of the story. It's an invitation of love, like all words of Jesus Christ are invitations of love. He told this story to some who had convinced themselves they were righteous all on their own merits, and who looked with contempt at the people around them. All of us who have ears to hear today, let us hear what he has to say to us. It's an invitation for us to search our hearts and our minds and recognize where we've been wearing the mask we want the world to see instead of our real self. Have this desperate fear that maybe we're not good enough after all, that we never will be lovable, that we never will be acceptable. But even better, it's an invitation to follow the example of the tax collector, who hid nothing of all his very real guilt and shame, but just threw himself on the mercy of God. And that man went home righteous. Amen.
Amen.